armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
try
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
you
is what you're
have
doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good day, I'm Mac McGee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. That fraud, that sham of a college football season is in the rear view. We look forward to 2024.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope y'all are having an outstanding day. And get it rolling today as we're going to talk about some NFL. We got the playoff matchup set. We've got the lines. We've got early looks at it. And I'm going to give you a couple of picks today. We'll do the rest on our Football Friday as we tend to do. We got so many things in the hopper right now, looking at finally the sham, the fraud, the college football season is over. We get past the Invitational. And not going to react, not going to talk about it because don't care. The other thing is a lot of movements going on in the portal. So we'll be able to get a better dissection of that by next week. We're going to really get things figured out in the portal. If you missed it on Monday, Florida State got a huge recruit as Alabama wide receiver, and he was highly coveted, and the big thing was he was choosing between Florida and Florida State. And considering that right now the perception is that Florida State is leaps and bounds in front of Florida, had Florida State lost this recruit, it would have been a little egg on the face, right? And you would have hated to see it. It wouldn't have been devastating if you're a Florida State fan. But you would expect a wide receiver to want to go play for Mike Norvell and not Billy Ball right now. I'm not saying that every wide receiver in the portal wants to go to Florida State over Florida. Not this year, but not just this year, but all the years going forward. I'm saying right now it would make a ton of sense if a receiver has an opportunity. He wants to be the next Keon Coleman. Coleman's going to be a very high draft pick. And if you think Florida State's getting momentum in this thing now, think about what's going to happen on the NFL draft when all those guys get called in the first few rounds. Florida State hasn't had that in several years. And it's going to put them back on the map. And the biggest thing that it will do is it will attract the bigger name kids from all around college football. I do wonder if Billy Ball, how much longer it will be in Gainesville. I would love to know from Gator fans what their minimum expectation for him to keep his job next year. Because considering where they were this year, I don't think you can be unrealistic. You can't go in there and say it's playoffs or bust. But I think most Florida Gator fans would like to know that they're at least heading in that direction. Now, they once again miss the bowl. And it's really difficult to miss a bowl, as hell, Florida State fans know it as well, when they have lowered the bar to make bowl games because you have so many that are out there. And so the 6-win plateau, considering the fact that usually on your schedule, a couple of them are layups, really, really easily to get that. But if you are considered a power five football program and a major power five football program, and I'm not talking about the Vanderbilts and the Dukes and the Northwesterns. I'm talking about the programs like Florida State, like Florida, like Georgia, Alabama, the ones that see themselves as this is unacceptable. Now, where Alabama and Georgia are at right now are a different level of where Florida State is. And where Florida State is right now is a different level than where Florida is. I will tell you, as a Florida State fan, Florida State expects to be in the playoffs next year. I don't know how realistic that is, considering they are going to lose a ton of kids. And I do think they're going to get a lot of success coming in back into the portal. Don't get me wrong on that. But even with that being said, how quickly can you get that to gel? They had some big names come into the portal last year, but remember the biggest thing with that was they had a ton of kids that came back. So there was a lot of continuity, and there's a difference between plugging kids in, adding a receiver, adding a running back, and having them help what has already been established, as opposed to Florida State to get into the playoffs next year. They're going to have an outstanding, and I mean an outstanding, regular season. I don't think they would have to go undefeated with there's now 12, but I do think because the conference is perceived as weaker, they can't go out there and go 8-4 and get in the playoffs. I don't even know if you can go 9-3 and get in the playoffs. I think bare minimum Florida State has to go 10-2, 11-2. Because this would assume that you also make the ACC championship game. And if you look at that and you see what is on their schedule next year, I'm going to do Florida here in a second. You're looking at essentially needing to dominate the teams that you're supposed to dominate and maybe pull off a game that no one expects you to. They start off with Georgia Tech. It's a neutral site game in Dublin, Ireland. That's going to be a tough game anyways. And the main reason why I say that is it's on August 24th, so you're starting a week earlier anyways than everybody else. The following week is Labor Day weekend. That's your traditional. So this is one of those week zero type of matchups, right? Looking forward to it. And really wish I could go. Really hate the fact that I'm not going to be able to go see Georgia Tech, Florida State in Ireland. That to me would be, you know, last name McGee, that would probably be full of debauchery and handcuffs. But I would enjoy the hell out of it. But we had already planned our vacation in July, and I just don't see us being able to do it. It would be great. It would be great, but I seriously doubt that. So they've got Georgia Tech, and then they have a week off, and then actually they got a couple of weeks off. Well, let me backtrack that. They haven't released the date of the next game. So they have August 24th. I would think they'll probably have Labor Day weekend off. We'll see how that goes. The dates that we do know is that they'll play Memphis on September 14th, at Notre Dame on Saturday, November 9th, at home against Charleston Southern on the 23rd of November, and then finish it off at home against Florida. The other games that do not have dates yet, as the ACC is still trying to figure out that schedule, they are at Duke, at home against Boston College, at home against California, at home against Clemson. That's going to be a big one. And I hope that game is earlier in the season and not later in the season, so that both teams can still have a lot of momentum going in. You realize not only does Clemson not like the fact that they lost to Florida State last year, they're going to be going up against DJU. And considering the fact that he is an ex-Clemson guy, that's going to be huge. So that's going to be a lot of fun. They will also be playing at home against North Carolina. North Carolina will be rebuilding a bit as they lose their starting quarterback, and they lost their number one receiver, and they're going to lose some other guys. I do think North Carolina is still going to be pretty good, but there you have that. They will be at Miami and at SMU. In that scenario, in that schedule, I don't believe they have to go undefeated to make the playoffs, but I do believe they have to make the ACC championship game. And whether or not they would need to win it would really depend on what their schedule is, or what the record is, excuse me. So if they were, we'll say, going into that game, they're 11-1, and they lose a really tough, close game to a highly ranked team, whoever it is. We'll just put Clemson in there, but whatever. Let's say if they had beaten Clemson earlier in the year, but they lose that. Let's say their loss is to either Florida. Probably couldn't lose to Florida and make it, because if you lose to Florida, and assuming Florida hasn't made huge leaps and bounds, you can't be losing back-to-back games, right? You can't be losing the Florida game and then turn around and losing the ACC title game. But let's say if they lost to, let's say Miami had a good year, or Notre Dame. Those are realistic scenarios. They go into the ACC title game and lose the ACC title game, a close-fought game. They lose it by a few points, and they are sitting there at 11-2. They'll probably get the nod. 12-1, they will definitely get in. They won't be a top four seed, which is what you would love to be, because you really don't want to have to play that first round. But when you are Florida State and you have not been in the college football playoffs in many years and you got snubbed last year, you're not going to really complain if you have to play that first week, because the fact that you're in the playoffs is going to be huge. Remember, that first round is going to be at home, so you get the home crowd, you get that money. So it's not all bad if you have to play that first game. This is not a Florida State team that I... Now look, last year I told you that I thought they'd end up in the Final Four. They should have been in the Final Four. And from what I've seen, Florida State would have beaten any one of those four teams. I'm not saying they definitely would have beaten all those teams. They definitely would have dragged Alabama. Alabama's offense would have gotten just caved in by the Florida State defense. Florida State would have been able to move the ball enough to put up a low score on Alabama, but it would have been a dominant low score. So I'm saying that Florida State probably beats them. If I were to venture to guess, Florida State would have beaten Alabama something like 20-10. They would have beaten Michigan. They would have beaten Washington. There's no doubt in my mind that they could have beaten them. I'll put it that way. I'm not going to say they would have. They could have. And as far as Texas is concerned, Texas is a sieve. Their defense sucks. Their offense would have gotten absolutely mollywopped by that Florida State. That Florida State defense was the real thing. And I found a funny quote, and I just could not help but laugh at this. A couple of Michigan players were interviewed after they beat Alabama, and they were quoted as saying, you can find it on X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it. They said, "We were shocked when Florida State didn't make it. We weren't worried about Alabama at all. But that Florida State team was really good." That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. And I'm not sitting here trying to trash Alabama. Alabama had a pretty good team. But this was not an Alabama team for the ages. This was not one of the elite Alabama teams. Alabama's had some teams that I'm telling you right now, they could have beaten some NFL squads. They could have beaten this Atlanta Falcon foolishness that's been going on for several years. Thank God they got rid of Arthur Smith. More on that in a second. But this was not it. Alabama's got some great teams. This was not one of them. So if you're an Alabama fan, I'm not trying to pour salt on the wound. I'm also not trying to disrespect the Alabama football program. It's a hell of a football program. It's one of the best in the country. Year in, year out. But to think that that Alabama team this year in 2023 would have been able to move the ball across midfield against Florida State, it wouldn't have happened. It would not have happened. I don't know if Alabama gets in the end zone against that FSU defense. They probably do. That's why I'm saying 20-10. But it wouldn't have shocked me a 20-9 type of game, 23-9, something where I guarantee you Florida State would have won that game. Because Michigan should have won that game by more. I know they went to overtime. I get that. But if you went back and watched that game and you're not invested in the emotions, you're not all caught up in all that nonsense, and you go, hey, check it out. Let's go. Let me watch this game. You're going to see a thorough domination on the field by Michigan that day. If you don't want to go back and watch the game, just pull up the box score. Jalen Milroe is what we thought he was going into that game. A very good athlete, but not a polished quarterback, not yet. I'm not saying that he can't be. But I'm talking about the 2023 season version of this team. For anyone that thinks that Nick Saban or the Alabama Crimson Tide, that they're done, it's over. No, they'll be back. As a proud program, they continue to get top five recruits. But this year's version is my point. So you look at that, and I'm saying Florida State's got to go probably 11-2 or better. You'd feel a lot better if you're 12-1 with the ACC championship in your pocket. And then if you look at the University of Florida football schedule, and I'm just picking these two teams today. We'll do more of this down the stretch. By the way, right now I'd be thoroughly shocked if Georgia's not in the playoffs. You talk about a machine that is humming. That is a hell of a team. Were they 60 points better than Florida State? If Florida State had all of their starters, of course not. We know that that was the JV squad going up against the varsity. We know that that was literally the third and fourth string going up against their starters. I don't know why that game meant so much to Kirby Smart, but it does. It did, and I honestly, I'm not holding it against him. I'm not hating on it. You take pride in your program. You want to win. Fair enough. And he had his starters out there for the majority of the game. All right, you look at the Florida schedule, and this is where I'm talking about with Billy Napier. What is the cutoff? What is the point that you say, I can accept that as long as I can see that there's depth being built, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and it's not an oncoming train? And I'm not ready to totally give up on Billy Napier. I do think he makes some really strange in-game decisions, but I think all in all, he's a pretty good ball coach. I really do. I don't think he's a terrible ball coach. I do believe that Mario Cristobal is a terrible X and O's guy. He's just a very good recruiter. And the old question always comes up, which one's going to get there first? Is it going to be your recruits that's going to save your butt? Or is your terrible job with the X's and O's, is that going to get you fired and the recruits are going to take off anyways? I'm in firm belief that Mario Cristobal is going to get fired before it's all said and done. And yes, most coaches get fired, but I'm talking about in the next couple of seasons. If it's not 2024, it's because Miami has a glimmer of hope and they see something, or they're just being stubborn and they don't want to fire one of their own. Remember, Mario Cristobal played for the Hurricanes. But all in all, I give Mario Cristobal no chance of building anything down there in Miami long term. But I do think Billy Napier, if given the opportunity and is able to develop the players, I do think that he's a pretty darn good football coach. What he does poorly is in the game itself, he makes bad decisions. And it's not just what I've pointed to many a times, and I can't get over it, that he will go for it on fourth down when you really shouldn't. And it's because it's on his chart, and it's telling him to do it, and it's this, all this analytics that has gone, that has seeped into the world of football. Remember, the analytics really started in baseball. They started trying to use it in basketball, and now it's seeping into football. And I'm not a guy who loves analytics across the board. I think it is a tool you can use to be successful. But there also has to be an instinct and, for lack of a better term, common sense. And I always go back to that Kentucky game in 2022 where Florida appeared to be probably neck and neck with that Kentucky team, but they kept turning the ball over on their side of the 50 because they were going for it on fourth down when they should have been flipping the field. And I've seen him do it a number of occasions in other games where I'm like, what is he doing? And I'm you know, the strangest thing about it, I'm a Florida State fan yelling at the TV, calling him an idiot, getting ticked off. I'm like, wait a minute, why do I care? Let him do it. But it's the football fan in me that goes, what are you doing? Why are you not punting? You know, 2022, Florida had a pretty good defense. And he couldn't get out of his own way. But anyways, enough of that. Looking at the Florida schedule, they are going to start off. Now, this is fun to me. A Floridian from birth. I grew up in the college football, Florida State, Florida, Miami. All those rivalries. And so I get sucked into this stuff. Florida Gators, Miami Hurricanes, August 31st. That's fun to me. That game is going to be in Gainesville. I'd have to look it up, but I don't remember the last time that they played that wasn't like a neutral site. It feels like they've always played. And I know that one that they played a couple of years ago. I'm trying to think, man, is that 5 years ago? Is that 2019? It had to have been. When they played Miami, I'm pretty sure that was on a neutral site, but it's going to be in Ben Hill Griffith Stadium, August 31st. That is a fun one to get going. Someone's getting knocked off their perch early. You know, this used to be, kids gather around the fire, let me tell you how it used to be. This used to be the beginning of the college football season. For years, Florida and Miami kicked off the college football season. Miami and Florida State were in the middle of it, usually like first or second week of October. And then Florida State and Florida ended it. Flash forward a couple of years from now. Let's say Florida State's in the Big Ten. Miami's either in the ACC or maybe they move to the Big 12. I think they go to the Big 12, but whatever. Florida's in the SEC. It's going to be a shame, but we may lose any chance that we'll ever have. I've always wanted to see it again. Before I die, I would love to see the way it used to be. Florida and Miami start the season. Florida State versus Miami in the middle of the season. And the Seminoles and Gators to end it. But if you have them in three different conferences, it's going to get real difficult to keep that alive. I think Florida State and Florida will keep their rivalry alive. I think what's going to get kicked by the wayside is Miami. And it's a shame because even though as Seminoles and Gators hate the Hurricanes, it's still fun to play them. But anyways, that's your opening game. He can't lay an egg. He's got to be competitive. I'm not saying he's got to win it. But Billy Napier can't get dragged in Ben Hill Griffith Stadium by the Hurricanes doing their goofy U symbol. Oh, my God. He may not make it to the September 7th game against Samford if that happens. So they'll play Samford, bare minimum. That's 1-1. I'm going to give Florida the benefit of the doubt because their quarterback is coming back. And Miami's going to have some question marks. Let's say they're 2-0. Let's give them a 2-0. Week 3, September 14th, they are going to be playing in Gainesville again at home against A&M. I definitely think they should beat Texas A&M. That's a healthy 3-0 start. Then they go to Mississippi State. That's probably a win. So 4-0. Then they get UCF. It's in Gainesville, but it's interesting to me that those two were actually playing. Remember, for the longest time, nobody in the state wanted to play UCF. Florida State's played USF a few times, but everybody sees what UCF can be. And you don't really want to lose them because it's going to hurt your recruiting in the state. And then they get to the meat and potatoes of their schedule. They're going to be at Tennessee, at home against Kentucky, which has really turned into a fun little rivalry. So this starts October 12th. At Tennessee, I would tend to think you're not going to get terrible weather October and October 12th. It could be cool, but it won't be anything blistering. Kentucky, at home against... I'm sorry. At Tennessee, at home against Kentucky, and then the neutral site game against Georgia. That's November 2nd. November 9th, now they do have the week off in between Kentucky and Georgia. November 9th, and this is where it's going to get really difficult. The month of November for Billy Napier and the Florida Gators is really going to set the scene for this team. They've got Georgia. They're at Texas. They're at home against LSU. They are at home again against Ole Miss, and then they travel to Tallahassee to take on Florida State. You look at that and you say, I think 8-4 saves his job, but I really don't believe that they want to see a 6-6. It's not going to be good enough to be bowl eligible. 7-5 would get iffy, but maybe if you have a big upset, maybe it helps you. Maybe you knock off Florida State. Maybe you knock off Georgia. Who knows where these teams will be ranked at the time, but maybe they go into Austin and beat Texas. A 7-5 with that could keep his job. But I believe the bar, I'll probably try to reach out to some of my Gator friends, I believe the bar is 8-4 or higher. They would love 9-3, but 8-4 or higher. And so when you look at that, that to me means that Billy Napier and the Florida Gators, they don't need to get off to a start where they're losing to Miami. But if they can have 5-0 in their pocket before they go to Knoxville, that would give them, what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games left. And as long as they went 3-4 better, things are looking up. But you give me a Florida Gator team that's 6-6. Because I definitely think that they're going to be good enough to make the bowls. If things fall their way, I think Florida could probably sneak into the playoffs if they're 9-3, 10-2 definitely. But 9-3 depends on who they beat. So there you have that. Have a little fun with that. Okay, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the National Football League Super Wild Card Weekend. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio.
Hey, Braves country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves country baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines and react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, I don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now.
Yes, sir, that's my daddy. Yes, sir, he's some laddie. Yes, sir, that's my daddy now.
By the way.
Welcome back.
That's my baby. Yeah, the NFL playoffs. Let's get it.
Going to hit up some lines and have a little fun with this today. The NFL, first of all, what about this fallout that we're seeing? Be interesting to see what happens with Belichick, but Wink Martindale is getting ran out of New York. Evidently, him and Daboll just are not getting along. It'll be fun to see where Wink Martindale goes, because Martindale, for some reason, I thought he was older than what he is. He's only 60, and he's a very highly coveted defensive coordinator, so it'll be fun to see where he goes. There was an article out that says it was in reaction to Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, I believe is where this came from. Not 100% sure, but I believe that's where the quote came from. It might have came from reporters or whatnot. But the quote was, the Jets need to flush the BS out in 2024. The Jets need to flush the BS out in 2024. I'm cleaning that up. He didn't actually say it that way, but you get the drift. Aaron Rodgers was the BS in 2024. Put his injury aside, the guy can't keep himself out of the limelight. He loves being in front of the camera. What he's going to find out after retirement, because it won't happen during, Aaron Rodgers is not as interesting as Aaron Rodgers thinks he is. No one is more interested in what Aaron Rodgers has to say except for Aaron Rodgers. The reason why Rodgers is currently a draw and why Pat McAfee's show pays him is because he is a current quarterback. When this all started, he was one of the top quarterbacks. We'll see how he comes back after the injury. I'm not doubting him. He's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. I know he's only got the one championship. Put that aside. Still a hell of a quarterback. But all that being said, when he retires and steps away from the game, he's going to find out he is not as interesting as people think. It's not that ex-jocks can't do it. McAfee has done it. McAfee's got an incredibly popular show. He's not my cup of tea because I feel like he's clickbait central. I feel like everything he does is kind of wrangled and tangled in worrying about not substance but ratings. But regardless, he is extremely popular with the kids. So you can't sit there and say that he's terrible. He's just not who I prefer to consume. I listen to a lot of talk radio. I have a day job. I've told you all that many a times. I work in the restaurant business. I do a lot of prep. I'm cutting and dicing, getting ready for the day. And as I do that, I normally have an earbud in my ear. I'm usually listening to many a shows. He's just not a show that's ever interested me. And some of it has to do with the fact that he talks about pro wrestling. I'll never be a pro wrestling fan, not unless you get me put in a time warp and make me 9 years old again and make me believe that, oh, is this real? by the time I was 10, someone spoiled it. There's a lot like other things that they spoil for you. You go, no, it's not real, man. It's all made up. And at that point, I'm like, eh. But, and I'm not even putting anyone down that likes wrestling. I understand guilty pleasures. I watch a lot of junk. Get involved in a lot of junk that I can't sit there and defend. There's no way. Some of the music that I prefer after I've had a couple of cocktails, I cannot defend it and say, this is great music. But man, it gets my foot tapping. That's all I give a damn about. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a personality like Pat McAfee. He's just dud. He's also very full of himself. So when he says flush the BS, you are the BS, Rodgers. You just are. I was excited this year for the Jets season. I was actually getting on board to pull for them. When he got injured, all that fell off. I don't know what my reaction will be this year. It was that one-time thing. I wanted to see what he could do. It felt like it was going to be a fun team to watch. I don't know. Your running back is going to have a different – I'll put it this way. By the time we get to football season next year, I'll probably get jazzed up again, but it's going to be very tempered because you wonder what he's going to be like coming back from that injury. If anybody can do it, it's him. He's an elite athlete, but you just wonder. But when he walks away 4 or 5 years from now, I'm not convinced Aaron Rodgers is going to continue to be – a draw on shows like a Pat McAfee. And if they give him his own thing, I don't know what the hell he would talk about, because I feel like he would get all up in the weeds talking about, you know, taking psychedelics and going into dark retreats, whatever the hell that nonsense is. So anyways, I think he's in for a rude awakening, because he loves people to love him or hate him, but he loves for the fact that they pay attention to him. They're not going to pay attention to him. They're just not. Other things going around, look, Arthur Smith got fired. It was well overdue. I've been saying this for several weeks. I decided in 2023 that if I was going to have a daily show in the Atlanta, Georgia area, that I felt like I needed to start paying attention to, and if I'm going to pay attention to them, I'm going to pull for them, the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I've been a Braves fan my whole life. I've always kind of liked the Falcons, but I can't say that I was ever a fan. But I said this year I was going to watch them, and that's what I did. God bless, that was a brutal season to start watching the Falcons. I brought a brand new hat, and I love the Falcons red hats. The old, I call them the 80s look, the 70s look, whatever you want. Back when they had the red helmets. Well, I went and got me a Falcons red hat with the black falcon on it. I love that hat. I didn't wear it much. There wasn't a whole hell of a lot to brag about. This year, I want to see a more, if nothing else, a more dynamic offense. That's all I care about. Don't go get another Arthur Smith. I have been a Titans fan for years. That's always going to be my AFC team going forward. And I'll pull for Jacksonville, considering the fact that I grew up there. And it's weird because in the same division. Really wish they weren't, but it is what it is. Probably the only person on the planet that can pull for both. But I didn't have an NFC team, not a true NFC team. And so I said, okay, let's pull for the Falcons. When they hired Arthur Smith, I thought it was an odd hire. I said, I don't know, man. Like, maybe they see something. Maybe they're talking to him behind closed doors and he jumps off the bench. But I was never impressed with him when he was at Tennessee. He took advantage of the fact that he had the best running back in the National Football League at the time and they were pounding the ball. But there were times where you would watch that offense fall off the rails because Arthur Smith didn't know what the hell he was doing. But when he put together a couple of good games back-to-back and whatnot, all of a sudden it was like, look at here, look what we got. He's not a terrible coordinator, but I had zero confidence in being a head coach. I just hope that the Falcons' new head coach inspires some offensive output. They've got to go get a new quarterback. Sorry, Ritter, but you need to go elsewhere. Go be a backup somewhere. Maybe you can resurrect your career. It's time to turn the page on that. They're going to have a high draft pick. They need to really consider using that first round pick on a quarterback or moving that first round pick for a quarterback like a Justin Fields. I would love to see what Justin Fields and his running ability with all the weapons that Atlanta has. That could be fun on AstroTurf. Or it's not technically AstroTurf. It's always going to be AstroTurf to me because I'm that old. All right. Let's get into the games. See, was there anything else that really jumped out? Well, Rivera got canned, but we knew that was coming. Pete Carroll says he is coming back to the Seahawks for a 15th year. And I guess that was about it as far as news is concerned. Let's go into the games. Let's go into the games, take a first quick look at everything. We're not going to hash on all the games that took place this past weekend because I feel like by now everybody's kind of over it. It's time to look forward. First of all, can we talk about the fact that the NFL is spitting the bit here by letting NBC put their 8:00 Eastern game on Peacock? If you don't have Peacock, you cannot get the Dolphins-Chiefs game on Saturday night. And I know what a lot of people will say. They'll say, well, I'll just go to local bar and watch it. It's not going to be very accessible. Remember, they pay more. A local bar is going to pay more than $5.99 a month for Peacock. I don't know what the charge is, but I can tell you from someone who's been in the business a long time, it's going to be a nice little chunk. And unless you're in the Miami Dolphin or Kansas City Chief market, there's not a lot of bars that they're going to go out of their way to make sure that game's on TV. So Browns and Texans is the NBC game at 4:30. We haven't decided yet, but I do believe, unless something changes, I think we're going to bring you the Dolphins-Chiefs game on Peacock because I believe so many people are not going to be able to see it. They're at least going to want to be able to hear on what the hell is going on, and it's a Saturday night, and I don't believe I have anything planned on my social calendar, and I believe we're going to be able to bring it to you. I'll have a for sure stamp on that by the Thursday or Friday show, but for argument's sake, we're probably leaning towards Dolphins-Chiefs doing that. If not, we're going to do the Browns-Texans game. Now, that one's on NBC. Same company, but you're going to be able to get that on NBC. Rabbit ears. Your cable system, whatever. If I were the NFL, I would have told them, if you're going to put a game on Peacock, it cannot be the Saturday night game. It's got to be the Saturday afternoon game. Just to give them that kind of leeway is absurd. And I know they've already got their money. They really don't care. But you should care because you want to make sure that you're not hurting your brand for your fans. There's going to be some fans out there, Chiefs and Dolphin fans who don't live in their market that are going to have a really difficult time trying to get it. They're not going to want to sign up for a signing center because Peacock does not have, by the way, I looked it up. Peacock does not have the, we'll just sign up for 1 month and then cancel it. No, they don't do that. I think they used to do that, but they're not doing it this month because they know that's the game everyone's going to play. So you're going to have to pay, and I get it, it's only $6, whatever, and honestly, it's cheaper doing that than it is to go out to a bar, restaurant, but a lot of people aren't going to do it. Because they may not be that big of a Dolphin or Chiefs fan, and B, there's a principle behind it that I can respect. All the other games on Sunday can be seen on Rabbit Ears. The Monday game, much like with the Peacock, it's kind of funny it's getting blowback. It's on ESPN. I believe they're also going to carry that on ABC. And if that's the case, you'll be able to rabbit ear it. But if they don't, then you're going to have a playoff game. You're going to have two playoff games that you're going to need some kind of service that you're going to have to pay for. The lines right now, Cleveland -2.5. The over-under is 44.5. Kansas City -3.5. The over under is 43.5. Steelers and Bills. Right now, Buffalo is -9.5. I feel like that's high. The over under is 35.5. And not that I think that the Steelers are some juggernaut that's being disrespected. I'm not convinced, even though it's at home, that Buffalo Bills team is going to be able to play mistake-free football and keep the Bills out of the end zone. I just think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. I watched that game on Sunday night, and we've seen this a lot, and it's one of the reasons why everybody has compared Josh Allen to Brett Favre. Is because he's got this incredible arm. He's a little more mobile than Brett Favre, but Brett Favre could scoot when he was younger. But he will take incredible risks because he's got this cannon for an arm. And there was time after time after time where the Bills kept shooting themselves in the foot. That game, with who they were missing, should have never been close. The Bills should have won that game by 2 scores, 3 scores. Wasn't the case because he kept having stupid turnovers. Just ignoramus, dumbass turnovers. He does that with Pittsburgh. The Steelers and Mike Tomlin will find a way to keep the game close. I think 9.5 points is a high, high number. I want to see where it goes at the end of all this because I do believe that you're going to get a situation where the public is going to believe that Buffalo can blow out Pittsburgh, and 9.5 could push into 10.5. And once it gets to 10.5, that's where I would really like to see it go. I would really like to see it go up that high. Now, if you're wondering about the injury, if you missed the game on Saturday, he went down with an injury. And look, when he was punching the ground, it's T.J. Watt of the Steelers. When he was punching the ground, I thought it was much worse. I thought we were talking about an ACL tear or something. What Ian Rappaport, he reported for the NFL that T.J. Watt is dealing with a grade 2 MCL sprain. Of course, they're saying this is the best-case scenario. And the absolute best-case scenario for this injury is to play in 2 weeks with a brace. Now, I believe that means if they got past the first round and got into the second round. So if Pittsburgh does get to, what do they call that, divisional weekend? The Steelers could have T.J. Watt back in uniform. Now, because they don't have T.J. Watt, I don't think Pittsburgh is going to win this game. But 9.5 points, once again, I want to see it. I want to see where the market goes. We'll keep away from it today. But I want to see, can they push it to 10.5? I think it could even go higher. Packers and Cowboys, Green Bay is getting 7.5. Over-under is 50.5. And the Rams, Lions are 3.5-point favorites. That's the Sunday night game. And then the Monday night game, Philadelphia is now a 3-point favorite. They opened up at 2.5. So money's being pouring in on the Eagles, and rightfully so. I know the Eagles have looked terrible. The Buccaneers are worse. And this has the feeling of what we saw last year. You remember when and this is what? With Tom Brady, right? Last year, remember the Cowboys went in there and just dragged the Buccaneers all over their own home field on a Monday? It was a Monday night game. This has the feeling that that's what's going to happen. I don't think the Bucs are going to get blown out like they did, but I don't think they're going to be able to slow down the Eagles' offense. I think the Eagles' defense will do just enough to slow down Baker Mayfield and company. So the first pick I'm going to give you is Philadelphia -3. And we'll get into the other picks later in the week because we've got a jam. I just looked up at the clock, and it is – we are past it. We've got to go. Eagles minus three. That'll be pick number one for our locks of the week. Have a great day, Braves country.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.